Good morning, Brett.
Yes, good morning, Nathaniel.
So, Brett, do you think that racial profiling potentially played a role in the fact that police did not initially check Mrs. Wynne's identity when she was taken into custody?
Oh, look, absolutely. There's not even a question about that. I mean, the way that Aboriginal nations are being affected and also people individually being affected is just appalling. The rate of imprisonment of Aboriginal people is something like 14 times the rate for Europeans, and it's just very high as it is anyway, but certainly in Western Australia and Northern Territories, just amazing figures. So, you know, there's a lot to be done there, and what has happened with Trudena, well, you know, that's in some ways is really just symptomatic of the behaviour of the police and the authorities towards Aboriginal people.
Mm. Well, Mrs. Wynne's death is not currently being investigated as a death in custody. Is this a sign that police have not yet adequately responded to the 1987 Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody, with over a third of the recommendations not even being implemented yet?
Well, that's right. Look, I mean, that's only, I suppose, a part of the problem. I mean, if you look at the imprisonment rate, that sort of says a lot from the very beginning. But also, when you realise that every person in prison costs the taxpayer, costs the government $100,000 a year at the least, then you're talking about a massive amount of money that's been spent on punishing and further disadvantaging Aboriginal people, and that money could just as easily be spent in the community using the term justice reinvestment. So the money could just as easily be spent in training people, ensuring that the proper health and education systems and people could be culturally better linked to their history and who they are. Now, they're the sorts of real problems that could be easily dealt with that money. And instead, what we see a series of deaths in custody. And to not regard what happened to Trudena as a death in custody, is outrageous. It's quite clear that it happened as a result of the police intervention. So there's certainly, I'm sure the inquest will have something to say about that.
Mm. Well, what do you say is the most crucial point right now for governing authorities to implement to help better protect Indigenous persons in custody?
Well, look, you know, clearly there's some laws that could change straight away. I mean, when you look at Western Australia and you realise that since the 1991, the actual report came down for the Royal Commission to Aboriginal Deaths in Custody, when you realise that I think they only have implemented, I think it's 62% in Western Australia, and that is just 62% of the recommendations have been implemented, and that's after, you know, almost 30 years after the Royal Commission. So you can see that there's not really been an effort at all by state governments or the Commonwealth government to ensure that the brutal behaviour by governments, by police, by, you know, the instruments of the state against Aboriginal people, that would cease. So there's obviously the level of imprisonment is a really good example of how disadvantaged Aboriginal people are, and the context that happens constantly between police and Aboriginal people. This is of course part of the problem, because they're living in conditions that are not nearly as good as those of European people, and there's a whole series of things, the disadvantages that accrue to Aboriginal people, including less employment, joblessness, mental illness that goes with that as well, a whole range of things, including the use of drugs and alcohol to assuage some of the cultural the problems that Aboriginal people have to face day by day.
Mm. Well, if you've just tuned into The Daily this morning, we're joined by Brett Collins, a Justice Action Coordinator for the Community Justice Coalition, who's joining us to help us discuss the continuing Indigenous deaths in custody. Now, Brett, David Dungay was an Indigenous man who passed away in custody in 2015. Tanya Day, she was an Indigenous woman who passed away in custody in 2016, and now Shadine Wynne has passed away in custody in 2019. What do these cases have in common and tells us needs to be done to better protect our Indigenous communities?
Well, look, what we're clearly seeing is the enforcement by, you know, white and Anglo-Saxon police force, which is determining the way that the state deals with the Aboriginal people. There's definitely a racial background and approach to Aboriginal people. I mean, what happened with Trudena, it was quite clear that they treated her differently than they would have treated another person. They ran into her house and they had six police inside her house and arrested her, and they held her down on the ground. They would never have done that to a European a person in the same way. And then later they then handcuffed her behind her back and some they said to protect her from herself. Now that's the sort of behaviour that we normally don't see in the approach to European people. So that's this is really what we're talking about. We're talking about a need for police to be properly trained to recognise that there is a significant disadvantage for Aboriginal people, and that the money that is currently being spent against Aboriginal people should be in reinvested into the communities from which they come. So that's really the solution. We're talking about a proper use of money and authority to ensure that the Aboriginal people are not as disadvantaged as they are, and that the police treat them with respect, and that the Aboriginal people there as the term liaison officers as possible, but the community support people. Now we use the term peer workers or consumer workers. Now people who are from the community, Aboriginal community people themselves, who are respected by them, who are the interface between the state and Aboriginal members of the Aboriginal community. These are the sorts of solutions that have been proposed long ago. And of course, repeal of laws that are disproportionately act against Aboriginal people, like, for example, public drunkenness laws, which were promised to be repealed in Western Australia, and they have not been repealed. So there's a lot of work to do by government, and it certainly it's reflected really badly in the deaths of so many Aboriginal people, and Tradina is just the latest.
Do you think the police need more training in regards to these kinds of issues?
Well, training, I always hear the term training. I think we're talking really about a structural change. We're talking about Aboriginal people taking a charge themselves, taking the positions that are currently controlled by Anglo-Saxon police. That's significant money. That the money could be transferred just as easily to the Aboriginal community, and for them to give support to one another, to train their own people, and to ensure that there isn't this constant interface between an antagonistic Anglo-Saxon police force and the Aboriginal community. They're the real answers, and I think training of people who are already imbued with a sense of superiority and who don't have a link across the Aboriginal community, that doesn't work. It's much better to have the community itself in charge and have the money that is currently so badly spent be spent in the community, in the Aboriginal community.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, something just needs to be done, because this can't keep happening, these horrible, horrific cases. Brett, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Nathaniel, it's a pleasure to speak with you, and this is a big issue. It won't go away, and the governments have got to implement the Royal Commission recommendations of 1991. You know, it's 30 years. Oh, come on.
30 years too long, I think. Brett, thank you so much. That was Brett Collins, Justice Action Coordinator of the Community Justice Coalition, joining the Daily to discuss the prevailing and very, very tragic issue of Indigenous death in custody. Well, what changes need to be implemented to help better protect our Indigenous communities. Now, if you'd like to learn more about David Dungay's case that we briefly mentioned, you can head to the Guardian website and listen to Breathless, a podcast produced in partnership with 2SER that raises many questions regarding the experiences of Aboriginal Australians in custody. And if you need someone to talk to about this upsetting topic, the number for Lifeline is 13 11 44. Now, again, that's 13 11 44. And also, if you need legal assistance, Aboriginal Legal Services can be contacted on 1800 765 767.